It is 11 minutes after 7 a.m. Happy Thursday morning to you. And as I mentioned at the end of the 6 a.m. hour, I have Millersburg Police Chief Matt Shaner with me here this morning. Good morning, Chief.
Morning.
There's no rain.
Yeah, and it's daylight, warm. And it's warm, and
I don't know how to, I'm wondering if we're like the right, I'm like, okay, we're at the right day, we're at the right time.
Yeah, it's been a while. Definitely a while since it's not been precipitating, so, but I think we have some.
It rained last night.
I don't know that I got any rain last night, but I'll agree with you.
The roads are wet on my way in.
It's been raining. I definitely didn't hear any rain. But I had like 4 million fans going because
it was hot.
I've decided we're not putting the air in yet.
We turned it on yesterday.
Yeah, we just have window units and our upstairs gets pretty warm. My son already put his in his room and he keeps his door shut and I'm sure it's nice and comfy in there. I know it's nice and comfy in there, but my wife and I are bearing it out because after the first of the week, it's supposed to go back down
cool,
a little bit
cool
more.
Again.
And
it's my fault because I washed the winter blankets and I switched to my spring coat.
window air conditioning units are kind of a pain
to
get in and out. And we both still kind of like whenever it's a cool evening to have the windows. So, we'll suffer a little bit longer, I guess. I don't know. It's kind of like a sauna.
we've had the windows open the last 2 days. Well, we've had the windows open, but the last 2 days we've had like more because Andre cleaned the carpets. He rented a carpet cleaner and cleaned the carpets. So we're trying to dry it. And then it was just so hot and muggy yesterday. It's like, well, maybe we can turn the air conditioner on and it can help dry it. I'm like, thank goodness. It was 77 in the house. And anybody who knows me knows that that is zero stars. Do not allow. I was finally like, oh, sweet baby air conditioning.
I have to have air movement. If it's, our house gets pretty warm. We don't have much flow through with our windows. So even when we have the windows open, it's not a great big benefit, but we'll put a fan in the window and draw the air in or push it out one way or the other. So, I've said it a zillion times. I'm not a fan of warm weather. I was stationed in Hawaii, and it was crazy because I lived off base in civilian housing. They didn't have air conditioning. I lived on base. They didn't have air conditioning. Lived in the barracks. It had air conditioning, but it never seemed to work.
Sound surprising.
And it was just, the humidity was so high. The temperature here gets higher, at least while I was out there. The temperature here would get higher number-wise, but the humidity out there was just.
But you're surrounded by water.
Yeah, just crazy. And it would rain, in the mountains and blow down onto you. And just enough to make the pavement wet. And then the sun comes out and it cranks up the humidity. I had fans constantly going when I lived in Hawaii. And my friends would laugh because we'd like sit outside in the scorching sun. And there'd be like, you could see where I had set because I'd be sweating so bad. And they're like, man, do you ever not sweat? And I'm like, no, because even in the wintertime, I'll dress warm enough to make myself sweat. So, I'm definitely not surprised I don't run out of fluids in my body with sometimes. Out there it was. And then you go to the ocean and the ocean was nice and warm. So it's like, that's not even a relief.
It's not even refreshing.
Wanted to go to Alaska and end up in Hawaii.
Those are two very different locations.
But that's, everybody's like, well, that makes sense. It's the military for you.
It's just one of those things.
It's just one of those things. But yeah, I enjoy the cool weather.
It was nice last night. We sat out on the deck for a little while and just watched the stars and argued about science.
Like the beginning of the week, that's kind of probably more my temperature zone.
But it is nice.
Yeah, I mean...
The nice weather.
I definitely enjoy living... After living in Hawaii, you had either rain all the time or rain most of the time or rain some of the time and then scorching heat. It's nice. I like having the seasons. I know a lot of people get tired of it. A lot of people don't like the cold, you know, but it's nice having the seasons, and being a clear different season instead of now it's the rainy season. Now it's not the rainy season, but you still get a bunch of rain. But you know, Hawaii is great. I'm glad I got to experience that. You know, if I wouldn't have been stationed there, I probably would have never made it there. And it was, you know, 18 years old and shipped out there, and
what a life.
Might as well have been to a foreign country, because it's
very different.
Yeah, so different than, you have such a blend of cultures there. Mm-hmm. And you have to pay attention, and because, you know, you insult one person this doing this, and the other person's, you know, if you're not doing that, they're offended, and you know, you never quite know what ethnic group you're dealing with, and it's just crazy for
a little itty bitty state.
Yeah, a kid from around here, and then you go out there, and it's definitely different. But it was a good experience. It was good. I always tell people, you know, I had to grow up because I didn't have mom or dad on a phone call, you know, 2 or 3 hour trip, to be able to rescue me. So I went out there, and you rely on your people you're with, the senior people you work with, and you learn your life lessons, good, bad, indifferent. You do your thing.
The military for you.
Yeah. So, I'm glad I went there. My other choice would have been Connecticut. And my dad was like, well, you never see Hawaii for free. Might as well let the government pay for it. And I was like, ah, makes sense. So I was like, all right, sign me up for going to Hawaii.
My cousin was also stationed in Hawaii for a while.
And it's neat.
And he was Navy also.
Yeah, I met a lieutenant commander, which we probably shouldn't ever, the way the military is, never even associated with each other. But he was from West Virginia, and he had been stationed at Hawaii 3 times. He was towards the end, he was close to having 30 years in. So he was telling me about the first time he was stationed out there, it was in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, yeah, you see this, that wasn't there, this wasn't there. He goes, every time I come back here, it's totally different. It's really neat. He goes, but we like being out here, him and his wife. So it's neat being able to experience something like that. And still being able to come back home. So just kind of one of those things. But yeah, everybody that knows me is like, why did you pick Hawaii? And I was like, it was Hawaii or Connecticut. So tell me what you would pick. And it was the same thing, working at a submarine repair facility. So the jobs weren't any different. So yeah, my first 90 days there, it was at the beginning of Desert Storm. I reported out there the day Desert Storm started, so they would not assign me to the base. They kept me in temporary status for my first 90 days there. So every morning I'd go in and you do your morning muster, and they'd say, okay, see ya. And we were hitting the beaches. So my first 90 days, I was going to the beach every day. It was, you know, between my, because I had to get clearance to work on the subs, and with the Desert Storm going on, they wouldn't assign anybody at the time. So
lived in limbo.
Yeah, it was just like, okay, this is what the military's like. I go in, they say, have a nice day, and you're on your way.
And now, note, it is not like that for everybody.
No, it's not. I was lucky.
This is a very particular situation.
Yeah, I was lucky, and you know, I tell people the only time I was on the ocean was whenever I rode the little ferry from the island over to the Arizona Memorial. And that's not even open ocean. That's still inside the harbor. I never went to sea. I was in the Navy for 4 years, never went to sea. They actually didn't have anything open. When we picked our orders, there was 17 of us in our class, and they only had one set of orders for a ship. Everything else was shore-based. So there was a whole bunch of us at the time starting our careers, going to shore-based facilities to work instead of going to sea. So it was kind of one of those oddities, I guess. I assume it kind of goes in rolling. I don't know how exactly it works, but the classes before me, 3 or 4 classes before me, were the same way. Very few ships. People weren't leaving. not sure that it wasn't, knowing a little bit more now that maybe people were getting extended on the ships with the buildup Desert Shield, Desert Storm. Maybe they weren't letting people get out. I don't know that for certain, but
The world will never know.
Yeah, it was just kind of an oddity. Everybody's like, I can't believe you're... And my rating, my job that I did, the hull maintenance technician, is one that is usually a 5-1. For every 5 years you're at sea, you'll get 1 year at shore. And I started out 4 years at shore, so it was kind of backwards. Yep, so... And I tell a lot of my friends, they went to college, did their thing, and I went to work. And that's basically what it was. It was a job. Just every 12 or 13 days, we had to do a 24-hour on-call. Sometimes we would have to stay over work, but most of the time it was a 8 to 10-hour day, Monday through Friday. Didn't work on weekends unless you had the weekend duty. And it was just like going to work in a factory. And sometimes you'd actually go down on the subs. A lot of times you'd go down on the subs. You'd build the stuff in the shop, take it down to the sub, weld it on, or bolt it on, whatever it was that we were making. So it was pretty neat.
Good experiences. Life experiences.
Yep. Yeah, it was. And you work with so many different people. 'Cause when we would do work down on the submarines, if we were welding, we had to have fire watches, which usually was the boat staff. Somebody from the boat would sit there and we would tell him, you can't sit there and watch us weld. That's bad for your eyes. Don't do that. But every now and then we would have guys that were trying to do that. But they would be there and help in case we caught something on fire, which occasionally happens.
What? So,
it happens between yourself. I have a couple nasty, I had my pants on fire one day when I was welding because I couldn't reach. By the time I got myself warmed into where I was welding, I kind of was in a C shape and I could not reach my legs to put my pants out. So I burnt the bottom of my pants from the metal dropping on them. And my partner was with me. He's trying to put it out because I was yelling at him. I'm like, you know, my socks are melting. This is getting hot. And he's trying to put it out, and the fire watch guy had fallen asleep.
A lot of good he did.
So my partner grabbed the extinguisher, and I yelled at him, don't do that, because in the submarine, even when they're in port, it's still kind of using the canned air, but they pump in, obviously, fresh air. And if you discharge a fire extinguisher, it's a lot of paperwork, and you got to go see a lot of people that have a lot of brass on their collars, and and you get in really bad trouble. They scream and yell. They don't like it. Master Chief of the boat will be very upset if you make a mess on his boat. So we did everything we could not to discharge fire extinguishers, but it was not uncommon.
Do
for
not
us.
Take that fire advice. Always use your fire extinguisher in regular situations.
You got to do what you got to do, but we would do the most we could because my rating is we were welders, but we were also a lot of the firefighters on the ships. So you do what you can do, and hopefully you can get from the sub. If you would get really dirty, or like me, I have a burnt uniform, other guys have burnt uniforms, you're always supposed to be squared away military appearance whenever you're out in public. So we would walk from where the subs were parked on the pier to our shop, and we would always try to avoid anybody wearing khakis. Khakis were officers or senior enlisted, and it was, you were free game. If you looked like you were a soup sandwich, that's some of them would come unglued on you right on the street. So you always tried to avoid any khakis while you were walking around. You just tried to do that. Didn't want to get back to the shop, and hopefully you had an extra uniform in your locker and change out of it. But yeah, it was always funny because everybody knew we would get dirty, but yet we were still held to that military standard of looking like you didn't do anything, nice and clean and crisp, and
it's supposed to be magic.
Yeah. So, but yep, it was a fun time. Interesting. Glad I did it. definitely a life experience that was beneficial to me. Getting away from home.
And parents. All the Navy recruiters are super happy with you with those comments right now.
Yeah. And I laugh when I talk to the Navy recruiters. I'm like, how long you been in? They're like, oh, you know, 10, 15 years. I'm like, dude, I've been out for... They're like, really? And I'm like, yeah, really. So...
Yeah.
And it was interesting. My son was talking to recruiters, and I'm like, look, man, I've been through this game. I know the recruiting game. You're a salesman, and yeah, it's not quite
that. It's not what they're selling.
Yeah, not that nice, because the one recruiter, because I told my son, I said, you know, boot camp is boot camp. It's not supposed to be fun. It's not supposed to be easy. It's transformative. They take you from being a civilian to get you into the military bearing thinking. And the recruiter's like, oh no, it's not like when you were in. I'm like, it may not be as bad, but if you went to boot camp and you thought it was fun,
you have an interesting personality.
I mean, boot camp, boot camp was boot camp. I can't say it was fun. It wasn't terrible. I mean, there was times where it was neat, watching the camaraderie build. Camaraderie? However you say that word. There's another. I found one. You know, because you, I was with 80 people, and there was four of us from Ohio, and a lot of people from the South, and the cultures are different, you know, and you all kind of work together to blend together.
And you pick up some of their dialect with y'all.
And it's interesting just to see it, you know, and transform. So, you know, yeah, I guess kind of was, there was fun, but there was also not so much fun. So one of my senior, in the Navy, they call them company commanders. One of my, senior company commanders was from West Salem. So
how convenient.
Yeah, he was like,
hey,
he goes, I know where you're from. And I'm like, oh yeah. And I'm thinking, you read my papers, you know, and,
but he actually knew where you were from.
He goes, I've heard of Worcester. And I was like, wow, number one, you said it right.
So, you know, you're from the area.
Yeah, I'm like, okay. And he didn't tell me until boot camp was almost done, where he was originally from. And at first it was a curse. And then I think at the end it was kind of an okay thing, because he seemed to lighten up, at least on me. He wasn't, you know, it was just neat. It was rough at first, because anytime I'd open my mouth, he would just say drop. And drop was to the push-up position. And he would tell me how many I have to do, and I'd do them. And he just, like, constantly, I kind of was wanting to blend in, and he was not allowing me to blend in. And we would be doing general military training, which basically, like, they tell you how to fold your clothes. They teach you about rank and structure of the military and the Navy. And, you know, they say, anybody got any questions, or can somebody answer this for me? And nobody wants to raise their hand. If somebody didn't raise their hands, normally I was getting picked. So...
I understand.
Which, you know, some of the guys were like, oh, senior chief, you're his boy. And I'm like, well, I don't think so.
It don't seem like that to me.
I'm not sure that there's any of that going on right now. But no, it was really neat. So, you know, it's a good experience. But to tell somebody that boot camp's fun and enjoyable and it's not rough, I disagree. Yeah, I disagree, and I was not backing down from the recruiter, and he changed the subject, because I was like, stop saying that to my son, because that is not how this works. and it was, you know, it was a Marine recruiter, which, nothing against them. We give them rides, and I bust on Marines all the time. bust on the Marines all the time, but... You know, it's like, yeah, I'm pretty sure I have a good idea of boot camp rankings, like hard to easy. And, you know, I'll keep that to myself. But the Marine Corps is not where I would fit in the easy zone of boot camps.
Exactly. There's always like talk of it being one of the harder ones.
Yeah. And he was like, oh, it's it. And I'm like, yeah, whatever.
Bruh.
Yeah. Stop it.
On that note, we're going to take a little break. But we'll be back with ABC News on WKLM. It is 20 minutes, 12, 19 and 18-ish math. Until the top of the hour, still to come, is hometown sports. And we've got more with Chief Matt Shaner from the Millersburg Police Department. And we got chatting in the first half, but we got a little business to attend to here in this second half, as Monday was Millersburg Council, and you had an item for executive session that action was taken then, come out of executive session so we can talk. Anybody who knows the rules of executive session. But because there was action that had to do with the police department, I thought I'd let you kind of make that announcement. It's nice.
Yeah, so I'm going to be promoting Daniel Baker. He's currently a sergeant. Going to promote him up to the rank of captain, which is below me, the highest rank that we have on the department. And it's one of those things where we've had a captain for a long time. Last year, the captain left. At that time, Daniel was in his probationary period for promotion for his sergeant rank. So, you know, we finished out that and let him, you know, see how he's doing. The department's personnel-wise was kind of in a little bit of chaos, which is where I feel like I've been for a lot of my 6 years as chief. But he stepped up quite a bit, and more than what I expected. You know, but my other sergeant, Michelle Markley, she stepped up. She's in dispatch. She's a sergeant in communications. And I want to get my department back in the order that I had it before. It'll be me. There'll be the captain, a sergeant in dispatch, and a sergeant on patrol also, which will be a nighttime supervisor. So with Daniel stepping up, I figured it was time to bump him up. And for the most part, he was doing the job as the captain. And to me, if you're doing an elevated positions job, you should have that elevated position.
Exactly.
You know, the responsibility and stuff is there. He stepped up, and I've really appreciated. I really appreciate both of them, all my staff. You know, when we were kind of in chaos, it was one of those things where if you need me, let me know. And everybody stepped up. So congratulations to him. And that promotion, I didn't say it at council, will take effect Saturday morning.
So this Saturday?
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
And we'll move forward. And like I said, I want to get my department back to what we had. Last year we had the patrol captain, patrol sergeant, nighttime sergeant, and the communications sergeant. So hopefully by the end of the year, I will get a patrol sergeant for night shift. I'll have two officers. I have one in training right now, Nate Meek. He's training on the road right now. You know, by hopefully midsummer, maybe he'll be on his own, seeing where he's at and everything like that. We got to make sure he's good to go. It's very hard for us to get to cover all of the bases because of our call volume. But we try to get everybody a good exposure with everything, having a field training officer with them. So he's been on days. He's been with Daniel. And he's definitely got a good exposure being on days. And I think next week or the week after, we'll switch him to kind of like a mid-shift. So he gets some exposure on the evenings, but not working overnight. We're still small enough that a lot of times overnight is pretty slow. And I just don't think you get a lot of experience training on a midnight shift. So we try to keep it, you know, in the busy times, maybe not have him out past midnight, 1, 2 o'clock, because that's when things really start to, you know, do die down. Definitely the earlier part in the week, Sunday, Monday, Tuesdays. Not to say that we don't get every now and then get something, but for the most part, those those days, those hours are still pretty dull. So it's not real conducive when you need somebody that needs experience of handling calls and exposures to do that. So we'll bump up his shift, change his shift around a little bit, and get him going. And then I still have my cadets in the academy. He will be done with the academy the first week in June. So he's more than halfway done, doing good. Everything that I hear from him, he's doing good. So when he gets done, then he'll start his field training. He probably will take a little bit longer than what Nate is going to take. Nate had some exposure. Nate came from another.
Has he come from another department?
Yeah, he worked for.
Knew I was going to ask this.
Yeah, Muskingum University. I don't know that's, or maybe it's University of Muskingum. I'm not sure. It was a college.
The college down, in Muskingum.
Yeah, down around Caldwell. Maybe that's not it either. I don't know. You're asking me these questions. I don't have. I wasn't planning on this. So he worked at a university for a year. And it's a lot different working at a college university than working in a village, working a regular, I guess, not to slam those guys, a regular police department.
More regular beat.
Yeah. I mean, we have a couple guys that used to work for us, work up at OSU ATI. And they say, you know, it's a different world. Mm-hmm. I worked at the College of Worcester Security, not as a police officer, as security. And I know it's a different world. Dealing with the world of academia is similar, but not the same as dealing with the civilian population. So, you know, he had some exposure, but not a lot of exposure. So it's kind of one of those things. Whereas my cadet is absolutely
fresh.
He's fresh. He worked in dispatch for a few months before he went to the academy.
Get a feel.
And so, you know, you get a little bit of exposure there, but being on the street, it's a little different. And completing the academy and doing ride-alongs and working in dispatch is one thing. When you're the officer and you are the one doing the paperwork, it's different. So got to have some exposure. So he probably will be at least 90 days of training. So the majority of the summer he's going to be in training. And I don't put, some agencies have hours or days. I don't put that. I put a lot on our field training officers and let them make the decision on where they feel, you know, the person is. Even somebody that comes from another agency, if they'd have experience, they got to learn how we do things. And go from there. So it's hard to say. It'll be at least a 90-day training, and it may be longer. It all depends on the exposure he has. But training in the summer, there's definitely a lot more going on than if he would come in the winter.
Because people are out and about and doing things, and there's tourists. And
so he's going to get some more exposure. So this is it's a good time of year to train somebody because the exposures are going to be there. More apt to handle some more of the calls. I mean, like I said, we can't cover every basis, but we have certain call types that we want the officers to have handled, and we go from there.
On that note, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with Hometown Sports, and then we'll wrap with Chief Shaner on WKLM. We're going to wrap things up here with Chief Matt Shaner from the Millersburg Police Department. And so just... We didn't get to it today. We talked other things, but we did talk about the weather. The weather is nice.
Yep.
People are out.
Yep.
So
this is our complimentary safety spot. We'll do it really quick. Yeah. You know, the weather's getting nice. People are coming to the area. Bicyclists are galore. People out walking.
You just learned there's like 300 people cross your crosswalks every day.
Yeah. So, you know, pay attention, get off your phone, watch your speed, take your time and be safe.
And might I stress that at the stoplights in town, parking at or behind the white line when you hit a red light is essential.
Do you mean stopping?
Yes.
You said not, parking. I said you're parking. I know. So I'm thinking two different things.
Yes. Stopping at the stoplight.
You know, leave room in the intersections because the traffic's bad and when you get people that try to inch their way in or think they're going to make it, you know, at least with me, I can pretty much tell if I'm going to make through an intersection or not. You know, there's always the occasion where you're like almost to the following crosswalk and you're hanging there and somebody, you know, decides not to go and they should have went or whatever. But stopping in the middle of the intersection and you should be able to tell whether or not you're going to clear an intersection. And all that does is adds to the angst and the grief and the traffic backup. If the other streets can't flow, then, you know, the traffic lights were trying to get the improvements going, trying to make things better, and doing things like that just backs things up more.
But if there's a big truck coming, there's a good chance you're going to hold your breath really hard.
Yeah, you gotta make sure you're back, you know, with the semi-traffic that we have in town.
There's a lot.
And they make the wide turns. So, you know, using the stop bars at or behind
is essential.
Is the best thing. And even then, some of the semis that will turn going westbound, turning north at the square, they have to, you know, get out extra wide.
It's their first time. Okay.
Even sometimes when you're at the stop bar, you know, it still mucks things up. You know, whether it's the experience of the driver or whatever it is, the length of the trailers, I know that makes a difference in how they make their turns. So just in general, pay attention. Try not to get the intersections clogged because that just makes it rough for everybody.
And you're working on it. The village is working on the traffic lights, but it takes everybody paying attention to help make that work.
Yep.
All right. Well, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
There's sunshine still. Yes. No rain. That was Millersburg Police Chief Matt Shaner. We're going to take a quick moment and be back with hometown news on WKLM.